Your Bible's in your hands. Would you repeat after me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I'm part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. All right, Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Come on and praise the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That just felt a little good. Let's do it just a little bit more. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God some praise. Amen. My goodness, we made it. John P. Key sings a song that says, I made it. I made it out all right. And if you were able to come through last year, you ought to be able to give God praise that you made it. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to have them throw this graphic up on the screen. And it just simply says this. It says, a new year, another chance to start over. Repeat that with me. Say, a new year. Another chance to start over. I'm going to say it one final time, and you don't have to repeat it with me, but a new year, another chance to start over. So as we've been thinking about that, I want to title this sermon, and this is not a series. This is just one message to get us started in the new year, and the message is simply called this, Another Chance. Another chance. I'm going to say that again. Another chance. How many are grateful for another chance? I'm just going to take a few moments. The last several weeks I was preaching. I'm going to take a little more time and do some teaching. Remember, I got my bow tie on, so I'm in teaching mode today. But let me just rehearse just a little bit of what happened to me last week as it relates to ministry. I was off of work, so I was grateful to be off of work and to be able to be home with my family. But Sunday night after we had done, I spent time with family and preached a sermon. We had a good time the last Sunday of the year. I get a message saying that someone was getting married on Monday, and the officiant had got COVID and could not come and do the wedding. And they were like, can I do the wedding for them? I'm like, wow, I barely know this person, but they're in a strait. And they were like, can you do the wedding for me? And I was like, you know what? We've been dealing with so much death. It would be good to do something good. So I went ahead on Monday and did the wedding. And I knew we had a funeral here on Wednesday. Tuesday was the only day I really had where I didn't do any ministry work. I met with a friend and went to the gym and worked out. But then Wednesday, we were coming here for Mother Bennett's funeral. I get here early and I'm doing a lot of things for the funeral. And then I get a call saying, Pastor Andre, do you know that there's been a death on your job? I'm like, what do you mean there's been a death on my job? And as I begin to look at the news, find out that someone passed away on my job. And here I am trying to prepare to bury a member. And then I find out someone died on my job. And it was just kind of weird. I was like, wow, I'm trying to focus on one death and I'm hearing about another death. And so I'm just kind of processing through that. Brother Will was here and I was talking to him about it. We're trying to wonder, do we know the person? Because most of us who are General Motors employees were out of the building, but they had contractors in the building. And it's just tragic to know that somebody passed away. And so in the midst of all that, I go to the back because my father was preaching the funeral and I was talking to him, and my mother comes in there and she's like, I got a call. They rushed our uncle to the hospital. He was unresponsive, but the paramedics are working on him. And so I prayed about it. But I had so much other stuff going on that I didn't even think that he would pass away or anything. I was just praying about it, like, hope he makes it out. We just seen him in Thanksgiving. Before Mother Bennett's funeral was over, I get a text from my mom saying he passed away. So that's three deaths I'm dealing with in one day. So when I say I'm grateful for another chance, I'm grateful for another chance. I don't care how old you are, life is not promised to you. Another breath is not promised to you. Another breath is not guaranteed. You can make plans. That's why the Bible says we shouldn't say all the things that we're going to do. We should say, if the Lord wills, I'll do this and I'll do that. Because I may not get another breath. I may not get another chance to tell you I love you. I may not get another moment to say I'm sorry. I'm grateful, God, you gave me another chance. Now, yes, I have to deal with and process the death of these people that are connected to me. We try to send our mother Bennett home well, and she made it to 78. My uncle made it to 84. So I'm grateful for the time I had with them. That's one thing I've learned. When people die in your life, it's hard. It's grieving, especially when you didn't expect it. But very shortly after getting the news, sometimes I just say this: God, thank you for the time I had with them. Because everybody doesn't get time with loved ones. I'm 44 and I've got both of my parents living, and I just lost grandparents. My just lost in 2019 my wife's grandmother, and then 2020 my grandmother. But I made it 44 years before I started losing people like that. I've got friends that are in their 30s and lost mama and daddy and don't have anything. Whatever blessing you get as relates to life, you ought to thank God, because somebody doesn't have it. I need to move on, but let me just take a little bit of time back in the late 70s and the early 80s and on into the 90s and into the early 2000s. There was a disease called AIDS. And in America, it really ravaged us around the 80s, but they kind of got a handle on it and changed a lot of protocols where it deals with blood. And that's the reason why when blood happens, you're supposed to have blood. All kinds of things have changed because of the AIDS pandemic. It was a pandemic as well, just like COVID is. But however, we had the resources to battle it. We lost a lot of people. But in Africa, they weren't as lucky. And there were whole villages that were ravaged with AIDS. And young babies lost both mama and daddy. People were orphaned overnight, so to speak. People growing up and didn't have mama and daddy. What would it be like to be 6 years old and all of a sudden mama and daddy is gone and you got to fend for yourself? I know we don't have everything we want. And I know America sometimes has been hard on people with darker skin. But thank God for what you have, because it could have been a lot worse. It could have been worse than this. You couldn't have a roof over your head. You couldn't have clothes on your back. You couldn't have food on your table. And many of us, we may not be wealthy and rich like we want to be, but we ate like pigs over the holidays. We ate like turkeys over the holidays. Somebody didn't have a turkey to eat, didn't have a ham to eat, and somebody didn't have a house to go to and presents to open. If God gave you another chance, you ought to be a grateful somebody. So let's put the title back up, Another Chance. Say that with me, say Another Chance. We're going to work through that, what another chance looks like, and hopefully it'll give you some fortitude to move into this new year different than you've done previous years. And one thing that I know that we're going to need for this new year is commitment, because there's so many things that happen to us that will make us just what we call throw in the towel. But if you're committed, you won't give up. That's the reason why so many marriages fail. They don't walk in with commitment. They walk in with a fairy tale and a Lifetime movie that happily ever after. Happily ever after works in movies and books, but in real life, it doesn't work like that. You got to go through some stuff in life. You got people that may do you wrong in life, and if you're committed, you can come through a lot of things. And not just in marriage, but the Bible shows us that marriage is a representation of between God and His church. And in this life, you can quit on God and seemingly have reasons to quit on God. Because He don't always do what you want, when He won't, how you want. I know we wish God is like Santa Claus, checking the list and checking it twice. And He gonna come down our chimney, and all we gotta do is leave Him some cookies and milk, and He gonna do everything we want Him to do. But it doesn't always work like that. If things don't work, he's always working behind the scenes, but we have an enemy. We got things going on. And the moment we walk out the door, we got attacks coming at us. And let me tell you something. You can easily quit and walk away in this life called Christianity, but it won't do you any good. It won't do you any good to quit. So this is what I've learned. If I'm going to be in it, I'm going to be in it. If I'm going to be saved, I'm going to be saved. I'm not saying I won't make any mistakes, but what I'm saying, if I do make a mistake, I'm not giving up on God. I'm getting up. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to ask for repentance, but you cannot make me leave what God has done for me. You cannot make me leave the church. You can sit in my seat. You can take my mic, but I'm not leaving the church. You can park in my parking spot, but I'm not leaving the church. Me and you can fix it and get it right, but nobody is big and bad enough to make me leave the church and make me leave God and make me quit on God. I've got too much in this. I'm too committed to quit on God, and God's too committed to me for me to throw away everything He's done in my life. It may not be perfect, but I'm grateful I got another chance. And you should not recognize me in 2021 the way you recognize me in 2020. I should be growing every year. I should be a better husband. I should be, by the end of 2021, I should have been a better husband, a better father, and a better pastor, even a better employee. I should always get better because God gave me another chance. Nothing worse than seeing people throw away opportunities and throw away chances. I've seen people come out of prison when they shouldn't have come out of prison and then throw away that opportunity and end back up where they were. I know it's not easy, but you gotta know I got a chance and I'm gonna make it all I can with the chance that I have. I know young kids who were A students and turned into F students, and somehow by the grace of God, The principals and the guidance counselors said, no, let's go ahead and let's advance them to the next grade, and we're not going to hold them back. We're going to give them another chance. And in the new year, they blow it again. Don't blow another chance. Don't blow another opportunity. If God's grace gave you another chance, take advantage of another chance. In my own personal life, my sisters always seemed to be better in me than in intelligence. It seemed like, I don't know, you know, you look at people, you assume, but it didn't look like she studied as hard as I studied, but she always got better grades. She got A's when I could study hard and get a C. And sometimes we were in the same class, and I'm like, how is she doing this? And sometimes she would help me, and I still wouldn't do that well. So at some point, I kind of just gave up. I'm not going to be as good as her, so I'm not going to try at all. That's a problem we have when we compare ourselves with somebody else, and then we quit because we're comparing ourselves with someone else. Well, to make a long story short, I got to the place where I was really struggling in school. Now, I'm an intelligent person, but I'm not that great at taking tests because I would get nervous. And sometimes I'd know the answer, but I'd talk myself out of the answer. And I was just starting messing up stuff. And in our school, they did something called yellow slips, which probably would never work in today's age. But if you got a D or an F, they would staple a yellow slip on your paper. And then you had to take that paper home, and your parents had to sign the yellow slip to let them know that they knew you got a D or an F. And then you had to bring the yellow slip back to school. Well, guess what? When they would hand out the papers, everybody would know you flunked it because yours would have a big yellow thing on it. And so I tried a couple times, but after I kept getting these yellow things, I started pretending like I was okay with getting them. Hey, give me my yellow slip, because I didn't want nobody to know I tried and I failed. And so I just gave up. I quit. Something happened to me that turned my life around. I was on the basketball team and just give me some time to talk if that's okay. I was on the basketball team, and we had one particular game right before the Christmas holiday where we got a chance to go to the Market Square Arena back then. Now it's Conseco Fieldhouse or whatever they call it, but it was Market Square Arena, and we got a chance to play on the floor where the Pacers play. Now I love basketball and I love Michael Jordan. I even like Reggie Miller and all them, and I was going to get a chance to play where they played. So the day we were going to go there, my chemistry teacher comes to me and he gave me a paper with a yellow slip. Now, in order to play basketball, you have to have a C average. So I wasn't happy about this yellow slip because that means it's going to drop me below the C average. But we're so close to the game, I know they're going to let me play. But guess what? When we got there, they said, you can't play. You got to sit on the bench. You can come and you can practice on the floor, but you can't play the way everybody else plays because you got another F and it's then brought your grade down. And I was a sophomore in high school, and I made up in my mind, I'm not ever going to allow myself to miss out on an opportunity and have nobody to blame but me. I couldn't blame my sister. I couldn't blame the school for giving me yellow slips because at some point I gave up and I quit. And when I gave up and I quit, it cost me one of the things I wanted to do the most. I wanted to be able to say I scored a basket on the same basket that Michael Jordan has scored in a real game, but I had to sit on the sideline and watch. And I told myself, never again am I going to sit on the sideline when I have a chance to be better. So from then on, I started working hard in school. Now, because I was so far behind, it took me a while. But by the time I was a senior in high school, I had an AB. I was on the AB honor roll, and I missed it by 1 point. I had one grade that dropped to a C, and I wanted that AB honor roll bad. But when I got into college, I had the same mindset. I was an A student in college. They because of my track record, they put me in something called August academic term, which means before we let you into school, you got to come in August, and we're going to teach you our curriculum, and we're going to see how you do. I did so well, they said, not only are we going to put you in college, but we want you to come back next year and teach the other people coming in because you're doing so well, because I learned when I get another chance, I'm going to take it with all I've got. Now I'm bringing a real world example from a past life and school. Maybe the people who are in school, it'll hit them. But for you who are out of school and you're long gone, there's a lot of stuff you done quit on. There's a lot of stuff you done gave up on. But I'm here to let you know in 2021, you're getting another chance. Take it. Take it, take it, take it. All right, enough of that. Let's go to the scripture. Luke 13 and 1. And before they read this, I'm going to read the heading. The heading is repent or perish. Say that when they say repent or perish. All right, read.
Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices.
So this is Jesus. He's in the time of where he's reaching out to people. But one of the things that was interesting is they were bringing up other folk. Whenever God begins to deal with you about you, the first thing you want to do is point to other folk, what other people are doing and how other people are functioning, what's happening with other people. So let's go back to that verse again, 13 and 1. They're going to put it back up here just shortly.
Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices.
Let's go to verse 2.
Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way?"
Jesus makes a very important statement. He says, you're bringing up these other people and what's happened to them. And he turns the conversation back around and said, do you think these people were any worse sinners than anybody else? Let me bring it in today's age. There's a lot of people, almost in America alone, close to 300,000 people died of COVID or COVID complications. Do you think all those people were somehow worse than you and you're still living? Do you think, well, I go to church and that's why I'm still living. I take communion and that's why I'm still living. Many times it's deeper than just that. And so what Jesus was trying to point out to them, while we're looking at what happens with other people, and to give you an example, this is like the latest news that was going on in that time. They were looking at the news. Well, on Christmas Day in Nashville, somebody had a car bomb and blew up a bunch of stuff. Does that mean that you're more special than them because that happened to them? It's something to think about. Jesus was trying to get people to stop thinking about what's going on out there and start looking at what's going on in here. Because you can't control what happens out there, but you can control what happens in here. So Jesus was making a point. All right, so as we go on, we're going to go to verse 3.
I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish.
This is powerful. Jesus said, I really don't care how those people died and what happens over there. I want you to understand something about you. Unless you repent, you're going to perish too. You may not die in an accident. You may not die from COVID. You may not die in something that's newsworthy. Your plane may not fall out the sky. But unless God comes back and snatches us up, we all gonna go the way of the grave. I don't care how cute you are. I don't care if you got a Chanel number 5. I don't care if you got Louis Vuitton and Louis Vuitton. You know, I don't care if you got a Lamborghini. You can't take none of that stuff with you. At some point, you're gonna take your last breath. And he makes this point. Unless you repent, everybody's going to perish. So one of the things we have to understand when we're in a season and we start seeing death all around us, we care for the people who lost loved ones and we care for the people that die, but we ought to take another thought. At some point, I got to ask myself, am I ready to die? Yeah, what would it be like for me to preach Sunday after Sunday? Me die, y'all have a grand funeral for me and talk about how I'm in heaven, but I'm burning in hell. Cause y'all don't know I'm hiding a whole bunch of stuff and I won't repent from it. I'm living a double life. I don't want to go to hell from the pulpit. Amen. I don't want to go to hell from church. If I'm going to go to hell, I'm going to be a hellion. You're going to know I'm a hellion. I don't want to play this thing. If I'm in here, I want to live it the best I can.
Hallelujah.
Now, do I have things in my life that could send me to hell? Yes. But guess what I do? What he talked about. I repent.
Yeah.
And this is interesting. When we're under grace, we don't necessarily need to repent for our sins to be forgiven because he's already paid for our sins. But we repent to say, God, thank you for being there for me. God, I'm sorry. When God began to deal with me and say, you haven't been good to your wife, I don't get mad with him and say, well, shoot, she ain't been good to me. No, I say, God, I'm sorry. Because you gave me a good wife and you gave me good children. And if I get to the place I want to complain about my church, I need to say, God, I'm sorry because you gave me good members. You gave me a good church to pastor. When God begins to deal with you, there's only one response is I repent. I'm sorry. God, I thank you. We're not repenting to be saved because hopefully we are already saved, but we were repenting to say, God, I thank you. You gave me another chance.
Yeah.
I want to do it better next time. Now, when you deal with things like addiction and bad habits, it's hard because those things have what the Bible calls stronghold. They have a hold on you, but you should never be comfortable in your addiction. Even if it's something that's not necessarily sinful, like smoking cigarettes, not necessarily a sin, but it can cause you health trouble. It's not necessarily the greatest for your Christian witness. One preacher said it this way, smoking cigarettes won't send you to hell, Better make you smell like you already been there. So it, smoking weed may not send you to hell, but it may not be your best Christian witness. But the thing about those things, they change your psyche and you begin to desire them over and over. But even if you're desiring them, even if you're lighting one up, you need to say, God, I thank you. You'll deliver me from this. I thank you. I won't stay in this all my life. God, I'm sorry for the fact that I'm turning to this. I'm turning to pornography, but I don't want to turn to pornography all my life. So God, I repent, and God, I thank you that one day you're breaking me free from this. Don't you ever get comfortable in your sin. Don't ever be comfortable in it. Always say, God, help me do better. God, I'm sorry. God, give me a chance to fix it. Don't let me die addicted. Don't let me die evil. Don't let me die wicked. I know I fooled the pastor, and I know I fooled the first lady, but God, I can't fool you. And God, there's some junk in my trunk. And God, there's some mess in my life. And God, you paid the price for the junk in my trunk. You paid the price for the mess in my life. And God, I repent. Because you gave me another chance.
Thank you, God.
Somebody drank alcohol and got drunk and got in a car and made it all the way home. Somebody got drunk and drank alcohol and got in a car and killed all kinds of people, including themselves. If you've done something stupid and somehow you made it out, you need to tell God, thank you. God, I'm sorry.
Hallelujah.
I don't want to do it again. Some people get caught in adultery, sneaking and hiding and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Do you know somebody could have caught you and put a bullet in your head? Don't you run around and talk about, oh, I got all these married women that's after me. Stop acting a fool. You better be glad that you're still living. Somebody can put a bullet in your back, a knife in your heart. Crimes of passion. People get off for crimes of passion. Don't you be no fool just because God, oh, I'm under grace. Now let me tell you something. You still need to repent. Let's look at verse 3 again. As they put it back up.
I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish.
Let's look at verse 4.
Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem?
I just mentioned somebody passing away on my job, and the story was that they were working on this wall, and someone who drives a truck backed into the wall, caused the wall to collapse, and somebody was under the wall, and that's how they died. In this verse, a wall collapsed and people died. But the question was, are you any better that it didn't happen to you? What was interesting is it seems as if the person who was driving the fork truck may have caused the trouble for the person to die on my job. And guess what? I drive a fork truck on my job. And guess what? I done backed and bumped into some stuff and wasn't paying attention or thought I was paying attention. That easily could have been me. I easily could have caused some trouble. There's been times that people have walked out in front of me and I could have killed somebody. Whenever I miss something, and it's, and on our job, they call it a near miss. Whenever there's a near miss, they say we have to go and report a near miss. I don't go and report a near miss first. The first thing I do, I say, God, thank you. I could have killed somebody. God, thank you. God, I pray. Then I go report it. But first I say, God, thank you. Cause I'm no better than anybody else. God, thank you. One day several years ago, when I had an old Eldorado that wasn't nothing but metal. These new cars is mixed with steel and aluminum. They're not as hard as the old cars. But I had an old 82 Eldorado, and that car would have caused some damage. And I was going down Willard Street, and on the side of me, there was the Mitch bus, and the Mitch bus had stopped, and it was raining, and my things were moving back and forth. It was raining real hard, but evidently a little girl had got off on the Mitch bus, and instead of going on the front where the stop is, they went around the back and ran straight across Willard. And at the last second, when my windshield moved, I seen this little six-year-old girl, she couldn't be no more than six-year-old girl, and slammed on my brakes and barely missed her. She never knew her life was in danger and went on across the street. But right there, I said, God, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
I almost killed somebody's baby girl, and I had no control of it. It wasn't the fact that I was a good driver, but some angel somewhere stepped in and made a difference. I'm no better than anybody else, but the grace of God. Do you know how many times you could have hurt somebody? How many times you could have messed something up? How many times you could have tore something up? If you're still here and you're still have the activity of your limbs and your mind is okay and you haven't killed a bunch of people, you ought to thank God. Because many times he's given us another chance, and Jesus was making that point really clear to them. Let's go to verse 5.
I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish.
So you guys understand the point of the repentance. But let's put this point up here. The first chance is always the call to repentance. So our first chance is the fact that God calls us to repentance. Now, when I'm preaching this, I'm not necessarily talking about y'all because y'all here in church. So at some point, you have made it known that you think following God is the right way. So that's our first chance, is God gives us a chance to come into the fold of him. And to be honest, none of us deserve the chance. God could have killed all of us. He could have snatched his breath from all of us, but he all gave us a chance, and many of us have taken that chance. And I really believe, like I talked about in the New Year's Eve service, it's our job to tell other people about this opportunity to repent and be a part of the things of God. All right, let's look at the next point. Another chance is always based off of grace and mercy. The first chance is we get a chance to repent. We call that being saved. We get a chance to be delivered. We get a chance to enter into the kingdom of God. That's our first chance. But when we get another chance, it's not based on our goodness. It's based on God's grace and his mercy. So the fact that we made it from 1 year to the next, it's based on God's goodness. It's based on his grace. It's based on his mercy. Let's be honest. Any one of our sins could have cost us our life. I'm not talking about even big stuff. I'm talking about little stuff. You just lied. You got backed in a corner and you lied. You lied on an application. You lied on this. You lied on that. But in the mind of God, any sin could have kept us out. But because of his grace and his mercy, he's covered us from all kinds of things. He's covered us from dangerous sin and unseen. He's covered us from big sin, little sin. Let me put it this way. It's such a blessing to be on God's team. It's such a blessing because none of us deserve it. Not the bishop, not the pope, not the person who founded the Church of God in Christ and the apostolics and the cap. It didn't make a difference. I don't care how saved you are. We don't deserve it, but we get what we don't deserve because of his grace and his mercy. We get what we don't deserve, and we get withheld from us what we do deserve. We should have been cast out. We should have been kicked out, but God's been good to us. So whenever you get another chance, it's because of God's grace and his mercy. All right, let's get deeper. Let's look at verse 6.
Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any.
Mm-hmm. Read that again.
A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any.
So Jesus was talking to them about repentance, and then he says, let me tell you a story. Story about a man who had a fig tree but didn't have any fruit on it. Let me put this point up, and this will help us understand this. Unfruitfulness is the basis for needing another chance. When we need another chance, it's usually because we've been unfruitful in any area. In other words, we're supposed to have produced fruit, but we didn't. In other words, you were supposed to be a good husband, but you messed up a whole year. You're supposed to be a good wife, but you messed up. You should have been coming to church, but you really didn't do it. You should have been reading your Bible, but you didn't read your Bible. You should have been praying, but you didn't pray. You shouldn't have been addicted, but you dabbled in stuff you shouldn't have dabbled in. Normally, the reason why we need another chance, because in some area of our life, we've been unfruitful.
Yeah.
And we all can say at some point of our life, we've seen where I should have, but I didn't.
The reason why I got love handles is because I've been unfruitful in working out. I've been unfruitful in diet because I don't like kale and lettuce. I like burgers and fries. I like steak and potato. I like Nihilators and Mike and Ike's. But all of those things cause me to be unfruitful when it comes to my waistline.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Do I want a better waistline or do I want what I want? And let's be honest, sometimes I want what I want. But then you pay a price for wanting what you want. Now it's funny when it's candy and cookies and cake, but when it comes to deeper stuff, a friend of mine told me something and they were talking about a situation in their life. Let me just be honest. They were talking about how early in their marriage, they got caught up in an affair and luckily their husband forgave them and they were able to move further. But they made a statement to me. They said, my mom used to always tell me this. Sometimes the heart wants what the heart wants. She said it wasn't that my husband was doing anything wrong, but while he was away, there was a person that came into our apartment and walking down the hall and smelled like I never smelled a man before. And before long, a seed got planted in me. And the only thing I can explain is the heart wants what the heart wants. And sometimes when your heart craves sin, it causes you to be unfruitful. But here's the thing. God many times gives us another chance even when we've been unfruitful. Even when we made decisions that we knew would cost us things, but because we wanted what we wanted. The old church would call it the flesh. And let me say it the way they would say it. They would call it the flesh. That's just the flesh. Acting up, not flesh, but when you really been acting up, it's the flush. That flush will cause you to do stuff that you said you would never do. That flush is a booger. Let me tell you, it's the flush that causes you to be unfruitful. But even in our unfruitfulness, let me bring it down to brass tacks. Even in our flat out sin, God still gives us another chance.
Hallelujah.
That's the difference between us and the world. They sin, but don't have an avenue to God. We sin, and instead of God kicking us out, he comes down and talks to us. He comes down and gives us a chance. He comes down and tells us to repent. He comes down and try to work with us and to work on us. God is so gracious, and God is so good. Even when we are unfruitful, he's still good. Because he's still God. And I really want us to do better in 2021. Not about sinning. I want us to do better about telling other sinners, don't worry about your sin. I know a God that forgives.
Yeah.
I know a God that gives you another chance. I'm not saying that I want you to live a raggedy life, but what I'm saying is you don't have to get better before you come to God. Come to God just like you are. Come to God messed up if you have to. Come to God jacked up if you have to. Come to God addicted if you have to. Come to God confused if you have to. I know a God that'll give you another chance and another chance and another chance. The reason why I'm preaching is he gave me another chance. The reason why I'm praising is he gave me another chance. He should have kicked me out. He should have cast me out, but he gave me another chance. And I'm not praising God for the Cadillac and praising God for the suit and praising God for the house. Yes, I'm praising for those things, but what I'm really praising for is he died for my sins and he paid the price for my sins and he washes me up when I'm dirty and he loves me when I'm messed up. And even when I fall, he's there for me. He picks me up. He turns me around. He places my feet on solid ground. He gives me another chance. But I don't want to take it for granted. I don't want to take it for granted. I don't want to get just willy-nilly with this thing and be like, well, shoot, don't nobody know. Don't nobody know what I do after I get done preaching. Don't nobody know how I act and how I talk. I could be cussing like a sailor and with nobody knowing. So I don't care as long as I can hide it. But if God sees me, because he sees everything, if God hears me, because he hears everything, I'm not trying to fool you. I'm trying to please God. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And let me be honest with you, not every day am I well done. Some days I'm medium rare. I'm telling you the truth. Some days it's Pastor Andre and some days it's just Dre. And sometimes Dre be cutting up. But even when I'm cutting up, I say, God, help me. God, give me another chance. God, I'm going to be better some way, somehow. One songwriter said, Lord, make me over. Make me over again. All right, let's look at verse 7. To paint the picture, remember, this man has a vineyard and he has a fig tree. It's not producing any fruit. Verse 7.
So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?
Wow. He said, this is not the first time it was unfruitful. He said, I've been dealing with this thing for 3 years. And every year when it's supposed to produce fruit, it doesn't produce fruit. So I got a new idea. Cut it down. Get rid of it. Now let me say something. In the new year, we always hear about people talking about who they gonna cut off in the new year. I'm cutting so-and-so off. And some people need to be cut off. Some people never were supposed to be attached to it. They should be cut off. But guess what? God could cut you off every year. Not in every new year. He could cut you off every day, because there's days where you've just been unfruitful. But God is understanding, because what he understands is many times our unfruitfulness is not because we are bad people, it's but because we are tempted. See, the devil is, he's a nasty rascal. My wife said something to me, I think yesterday, said sometimes she wish she could choke the devil. Because a loved one of ours, now we find out that they're sick with a disease, and the devil causes us, but God understands that. He understands that. And that's not like Flip Wilson, where we can say, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do all the stuff you did. Let's be honest, some of that you did on your own. But what God is, the reason why he's gracious, because he understands that as long as we are in this fleshly body, we are tempted. The Bible says we're drawn away and enticed by our own lust. There's some stuff that just draws us and pulls us. And what God says, what I'm not going to do, I'm not going to allow the devil to get the best of you, because I paid the price for you. The devil didn't pay the price for you. So you belong to me. You don't belong to the devil. So even if the devil made you do it, God said, I'm still going to hold on to you, and I know I should cut you off, because you ain't worth the dime. I'm going to be ungrammatically correct. You ain't worth the dime. But I've been saved all day. No evil have I done. You ain't worth the dime. That's what God said. Because even though you quote unquote been saved all day, I know the thoughts that you think. I know the desires that you have. Just because you didn't act on them doesn't mean it's not in you. There's some stuff that's in you to do. You just don't have the opportunity to do it. See, some of y'all are smart enough not to carry it out. But have you ever sat down and watched a movie about a bank robbery? And while you're watching the movie about the bank robbery, you wonder what it'd be like if you could rob a bank and pay all your bills. Just the thought alone, God can get you for the thought. But God is good. God covers us. He calls us his children no matter what's going on in our life. And guess what? There's always a call to God by what they call the accuser of the brethren to cut us off.
But let's look at this point we're going to put up.
Another chance is not the only option. There's another option, and that is cut you off. God could cut you off, or he could give you another chance. Oftentimes, God gives us another chance, but let's be honest, he could have cut us off. He could have caused us to be exposed. Many times when, let me put it this way, many times when preachers get exposed, that ain't the first time they've been messing up. When you see a preacher on the news and he got a bunch of babies out of wedlock and he been stealing money, that ain't the first time he did that. He had chance after chance after chance to get it right, but he kept on messing up. So God could cut you off, or he could give you another chance. Sometimes we assume he has to give us another chance because God ain't got to do nothing. He don't have to wake you up in the morning. He don't have to start you on your way. He doesn't have to put breath in your body. At any moment in your day and in your life, God could snatch his life from you. He could cut you off any time. The fact that you're still living means you have God's grace on your life. Put the point back up. Another chance is not the only option. Let's look at verse 8.
Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it.
Wow. What the man said is, listen, I know it's been unfruitful, but give it another year. Give it another chance. And here's the thing. Satan is speaking in God's ear and saying, cut Andre off. Cut Deliverance Temple off. And what God says, wait a second. Give it another year. I'm going to dig around it. I'm going to dung it. I'm going to give it another chance, but instead of making it do it on its own, I'm going to step in. Have you ever heard the saying that when God steps in, when God steps in, when he makes the difference, he does what couldn't be done and what shouldn't have been done. He steps in with his grace and he steps in with his mercy and he steps in with his love. And yes, you should have been gone. You should have died in 2020, but God says in 2021, give them another year. I'm going to work it out for them. I'm going to fix it up for them. I'm going to clean it up for them. I'm going to straighten it up for them. And here's something you have to understand. Each day you move forward, you get further and further from your past. People like to bring up your past, but your past is your past. So you can talk about who I used to be, or you can talk about what I'm going to be. And God is investing in me based on what I'm going to be, not based on what I was. In the stock market, they invest in a stock based on what they think is going to do in the future. They may have fired the CEO. They may have been in bankruptcy, but they invest in the stock based on what it's going to do. My job, General Motors, they went through a bankruptcy in 2009. Their stock dropped, but people are buying the stock again based on what they think it's going to do. God invests on us not based on our past, but based on what our future holds. And what he said, what the person said, is give it another year. I'm saying another chance, but let me bring it all the way down to this day and age. God has given you another year. He's given you a whole another year. Get it right this time. Do it right this time. Because he gave you another, but here's the thing. He gave you another year, but he doesn't leave you lonely. Let's go back to that verse, verse 8. And read it again.
Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year.
Leave it alone. Don't cut it. Don't cut it off. Leave it alone one more year.
And I'll dig around it and fertilize it.
Now, I need you to understand that fertilizer sounds cute, but fertilizer many times, especially in that day, was nothing but manure. Was nothing but P-O-O-P, poop. The stinky stuff. But it's something about the dirty and the stinky stuff that makes us grow. So even though God gave you another year, I can't promise you that 2021 is going to be your year. And you're going to turn around and do three hallelujahs. And you're going to be in a mansion. And you're going to be in a limo. And you're going to be walking down the aisle with a white dress. I ain't promise you none of that. You might get more poop this year than you ever got in your life. But I'm here to let you know it's going to make you grow. So it's not the devil. Sometimes the trouble that comes in your life is not the devil. It's the God fertilizing you. I'm giving them another year, but I'm going to put something around them that will cause them to grow through that trouble. One songwriter, it was Yolanda Adams, that sang the song that says, still I rise. I don't care what it looks like, and I don't care what I'm going through. There's something on the inside of me that makes me rise to every challenge, that makes me rise to every obstacle, that makes me grow. And all kinds of stuff. I got to tell you a quick story. We're almost finished. I got to tell you a quick story. Look, I'm going to tell you two stories. Number one, I'm going to talk about my son. My son told me last week, he's like, Daddy, that don't make no sense. And I was like, what? It don't make no sense. He said, you only had 9 verses and you still preached an hour. And then so he was teasing me. So this Sunday, I told him, I said, listen, I only got 9 verses. And he said, you're going to drag it out, ain't you? I said, yeah, I'm going to drag it out. It's the first Sunday of the new year. I'm going to take these 9 verses and I'm dragging it out. That was just throwing that story in there. But here's another story. There's a story about two women. There was a black woman and a white woman. And in this particular case, not every white women are like this, but in this particular case, this white woman was racist. And the black woman moved into the neighborhood, and the white woman didn't want her there. And so the black woman put a flower pot that had a flower in it, and it was close to the dividing line between the two properties. And the white lady said, "I don't want your flower that close to my property." And the lady said, "It may be close to your property, but it's still my flower. So I'm going to leave it there." And the white lady was mad, like, "Who's this black woman telling me what she going to do?" So the white woman got it in her mind that she was going to take every time she came close, she was going to dump her dirt and her junk over the side of the property line and dump it over onto that flower so that it would cover up the flower and the flower would not be seen. But within a couple months of the dirt and the manure and all the dumping over there and the rain and the sunshine, she thought she was covering up the flower, but she was making the flower grow. And the black lady came and knocked on the white woman's door, and she said, "I just want to thank you because all the dirt you threw at me and all the junk you threw at me and all the trouble you threw at me, all it did was make me grow. I don't care what the devil throws at you. God will use it to work your life around. God will use the manure, and he'll use the poop, and he'll use the trouble because he gave you another year and he gave you another chance. I don't care what they do with COVID. I don't care if Joe Biden is not who I thought he is. I don't care what you throw on me. I'm in a season. I'm getting ready to grow. I'm rising anyway. I'm coming up anyway. I'm growing anyway. I'm going to bear some fruit. It may come through tears, but I'm going to bear some fruit. It may come through depression, but I'm going to bear some fruit. It may come through obstacles, but I'm going to bear some fruit because I know who's on my side. And if God be for you, who can be against you? And if God calls your name, and if God says you can do it, you can do it. He raises the dead. He makes the blind see. He makes the lame walk. And he can take my life in 2021 and he can make something special out of my life." God says, "Give it one more year." I'm here to let you know, some of y'all, you got another year. You got another chance. But I got to close this way. Let's look, put this point up. Another chance doesn't always feel grand. And that's the point. Sometimes it comes through, God has several ways of blessing us. Sometimes he can just bless us like that. Sometimes he blesses us through trouble and pain. And on our New Year's Eve service, we talked about how pain has purpose. So another chance doesn't always feel good. So I'm not going to get up here and prophesy to you and promise you everything's going to be hunky-dory in 2021. To be honest, I see more trouble coming in 2021. I don't necessarily know if it means for the church, but it ain't going to be what some people think it is. I'm so glad we got out of 2020. Some of y'all are going to get out of 2020 and go right into something else. But if you have God on your side, you'll make it. Let's look at verse 9. Read this.
"If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down."
Only problem with this is you got another chance. You got another year, and I'll do everything I can to make fruit come. But then this statement said, if it does not bear fruit next year, go ahead and cut it down. Here's the last point that I want to put up. And I think I need you to understand this. Go ahead and put this up. Another chance can also be a last chance. Let me be somber for a second. Some people are coming to their final chance. God is a good God. He's a gracious God. But God's nobody's fool. And you can play with God if you want to. You can play church if you want to. But for some people, this is your last chance. It's your last chance to get it right. And I'm not just talking about that. Sometimes, and I've been talking about marriage, sometimes this is your last chance to mess over that wife. Some women can do bad all by themselves. And you're going to find out you're going to be by yourself. Quit playing games and be the husband you need to be. Or be the wife you need to be. or the guidance counselor ain't going to keep turning your F's into B's and trying to help you. Now, some of y'all, this is your last chance. I thank God for another chance, but sometimes another chance is your final chance. Some people, when they get a final chance, they run like never before, and they make the most out of it. Some people, when they get a final chance, they play around. This is not the time to play around. This could be your last chance. I ain't prophesying hell on nobody. I'm not prophesying death on nobody. I don't know what I'm prophesying, but I know God told me to tell somebody this is your last chance. Don't play around with your last chance. Here's the thing. If you knew it was your last chance, you would do right, but you can't tell when it's your last chance. You can't tell when it's your final chance. You can't tell when the curtain of life will close on you and you won't get another opportunity. I'm tired of preaching funerals. I'm tired of seeing caskets in front of me. And not everybody was 70 and 80 years old. I preached funerals of people who were 2 weeks old all the way up into their 80s. And the bulk of the people I preached for that were young black men were people who died way too early. Shooting in the streets just because they got an attitude. We don't have a time to play church, to play games. People are dying. And some of them, it's their last chance. And for some of you, it's your last chance. I don't know if I'm talking about to somebody in the room or somebody in TV land or people who watch me on YouTube. I don't know who I'm talking to. I could be talking to myself, but for somebody, this new chance is your last chance. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Because we're not promised. We're not promised another day. We're not promised another breath. We're not promised another second. We're not promised another moment. Make the best of it. The word momentum comes from the word moment. You have to take the moments to make the momentum. This is the year to take the moments and make some momentum out of it. If you got to repent, repent. If you got to tell somebody you're sorry, tell somebody you're sorry. The one thing you can't do is have this false reality that I'm going to play this game like everything's okay, but behind closed doors, I'm a mess. I don't care if it's church, if it's therapy. I don't care if you need a Xanax. I don't care what you need. Don't play. Get whatever you need. There's too much help out there for you to go without the help that you need. Some of us have been dealing with suicidal thoughts. And if you don't make some changes in your life, those thoughts will not be just be thoughts. Next thing you know, you're going to be making plans. Next thing you know, we're going to have to be burying you, wondering, God, why'd you let it happen? Because you've been over there hiding all the stuff going on in your life. If you have to pick up the phone and call somebody, don't try to do this by yourself. This is your last chance. And if you can, get it right. And guess what? God wouldn't tell me to preach it if you couldn't get it right. Because in this story, they got a whole nother year to get it right. You got a whole nother year to get it right. Look at your neighbor and say, get it right. Get it right this time. We're gonna do two things. We're going to go into our prayer. Our first prayer is going to be a prayer of salvation. And after we end that prayer, we're going to open our eyes. And I have a prayer that we're going to pray that comes from our newsletter. We have a prayer that's in our monthly newsletter. We're going to pray that so you see it. But our first prayer, we're going to pray for anybody who doesn't know Jesus. So let's bow our heads. And as we always do, repeat the prayer with me. So you may be saved, but repeat the prayer with me for anybody who may be needed. Dear Heavenly Father, you've given me another chance. But this new chance, this new year, might be my last chance. It could be my last year. So I move now. And I ask you to come into my life. I repent of my sins and my failures, and I put my trust, my faith, and my hope in you. And with you, I'll bear fruit this time in Jesus' name. Come on, let's put our hands together and clap.
If you're watching me through live stream and you prayed this prayer for the first time, please get yourself in a Bible-believing church. Not every church preaches the Bible, but get yourself in a Bible-believing church that will help you grow. Amen. All right, now let's open our eyes. We're still going to pray, but we're going to pray what's on the screen. And it may be kind of small for you to see it, but it's also in your newsletter. So if you don't know what to pray, you can pull up your newsletter and you can pray this prayer. But I'm going to pray this prayer. You don't have to repeat after me. We're just going to pray, and this is how we're going to close. Dear Heavenly Father, we honor, appreciate, and thank you for all you've done. We thank you for bringing us through a most difficult year. We are expecting great things to transpire for us in 2021. However, we yield our will to yours and say, thy will be done. We pray the blood of Jesus continues to cover us throughout the duration of this COVID-19 pandemic. We speak special protection for all essential workers, elderly, and school-aged children. We ask for a special blessing over Correll, the young child we were asked to pray for, who is battling COVID and kidney failure. We also pray against all poverty, addiction, violence, and death in our city as we continue to battle this disease and other ills in our community. We continue to call our church a coronavirus-free zone and a cancer-free zone. We pray for ministry growth as our services continue to reach online audiences and continue to bless those of who are inside the building. We plead the blood of Jesus against Satan, and we release spiritual, emotional, physical, and financial breakthroughs for all of our members. We ask you to cover the Morehouse, Bennett, and Mitchell families who are grieving, and anybody else who's grieving loss. Comfort them and all who have suffered loss. We release strength for our pastor and all our church leaders as they navigate us through the uncharted waters of this decade. We declare wealth and riches are in our houses, and we ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance as we receive another round of stimulus checks and possibly more business grants and loans. Finally, we speak comfort, peace, and strength over our prison inmates in any correctional facility they are in. Keep them healthy and safe. Finally, we expect souls to be saved, members to join, and disciples to be made throughout 2021. I'm going to say that two more times. Finally, we expect souls to be saved, members to join, and disciples to be made throughout 2021. Finally, we expect souls to be saved, members to join, and disciples to be made throughout 2021. We still expect your best as we live our vision every day. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say amen and amen. Come on, stand to your feet this morning.